Hello and welcome to another edition of Spodcasters. We're talking KU football again. I'm Matt Tate, KU football beat writer, and I'm joined by Tom Keegan, who, at least to my knowledge, has never ran half as fast as these Baylor Bears do on the football field. Am I right, Tom?
Probably half as fast, believe it or not. When I was a freshman in high school, I weighed 110 pounds. I was fast.
You were a cross-country guy or something, right?
Cross-country, freshman basketball, and track. Ran the mile in track, but tried to do the 2 mile.
Yeah.
So it was a speed miler. You're either a speed or a strength guy, and you either move up or down. And if I'd have stayed with track for 4 years, I would have moved down.
Good point.
I washed dishes for minimum wage and thought I was rich.
The way I did it is avoided track and running altogether. Never been a fan. I'll chase a ball for 100 days in a row, but I can't just run to run. But anyway, Baylor does do that. They run to run, and they run often, and they run well, and they run fast, and they run all over the field. Number one, what do you think this challenge is for Kansas? I mean, is it absolutely out of the question that they can even step on the field and even contain this offense, which, you know, we all know the numbers. They lead the nation in total offense, 715 yards a game, 65 points a game. They've done it in every way imaginable. I'll get back to that question. Is it unimaginable for KU to step out there and slow them down?
No, because K-State already did it, and I think KU has a comparable defense to K-State.
Sure.
So it's been done. It could be done again, and Charlie Weiss thinks that the crowd can play a big role in this in slowing down the offense by just being incredibly loud when Baylor's on offense so that they can't hear the calls and have to do hand signals and maybe even walk up to the lineman and shout the plays to him. So, you know, that's where it's got to start, is in the crowd. And then from there, you know, that's KU defense. The cornerbacks are among the strengths on that team.
Right. Yeah, well, it's crazy because some of that stuff, some of the crowd noise and the sort of, you know, action that you just described, they're walking up to the lineman, it's still quick. But it really could save KU 2 or 3 seconds, 4 seconds per possession, per snap. And that's a big difference for a defense.
Catch your breath.
Yeah, yeah, and get lined up and get, yep. You know, I mean, so even though 2, 3, 4 seconds doesn't sound like a whole lot, it really could make an impact. And I'm interested in that every week. I'm always interested to see what KU fans do. Do they show up? Are they there? You know, this is a rebuilding project. There's no question about it. And Coach Weiss has not been shy about the role that the fans play and should play in this rebuilding project. It's one thing to show up when your team's winning. It's easy to do that, you know. But do they show up? I've always been interested in that. I'm curious about it every week to see what the attendance number is. What do you think it's going to be this week? 1 week after watching the offense throw for 16 yards in the entire game, regardless of the fact that the game was pretty competitive, they still saw their offense throw for 16 yards. So you think that turns people off and keeps some people away? Or do you think this challenge of, hey, get loud and have some fun is enough?
I think that it was smart of Charlie to emphasize that, not just because it's real. It would help, but maybe someone who's thinking about just watching a game now feels like they can participate. Maybe that will help the crowd, and maybe they will just bring it and be really, really loud. And also, if you're a football purist, don't you want to see the best offense in the country live?
Right, right. And you know, against the strength of your team, which is your defense. I mean, that's a cool matchup. And I know that's one of the things I'm looking forward to most. I've been blown away by Baylor's offensive numbers. You know, it should be pointed out that they've done it against some pretty bad teams. Wofford, Buffalo, Iowa State's not having a good year. Louisiana Monroe's pretty decent for their level. West Virginia not real strong, and then K-State, as you mentioned, slowed them down. 35-25 was the score in that game. So, you know, I don't know if these numbers are out of whack or not. What I do know is that Baylor has a tremendous amount of talent, and I don't think it's just the fact that they haven't been playing anybody that these numbers are getting put up for.
Well, 62% of the time they run the ball, and Seastrunk is one of the best running backs in the country. Then they have among the best receivers in the country as a unit.
Right.
And Bryce Petty, they just always seem to have a good quarterback. It's amazing, a really good quarterback.
You know, and I mean, the tough part for Baylor has been tough, I say, kind of tongue-in-cheek, because having Robert Griffin III was not a tough thing. They enjoyed his time there, and he was there a while, longer than you would expect for a guy that talented, but injuries played into that, obviously. But, it's one of those things, sort of like the Todd Reesing effect. Everybody's looking for the next Todd Reesing here. Who's the next guy? Who's going to be the next great guy? Well, they've kind of been doing that, at least for the couple years after Robert left. But it hasn't mattered. I mean, these guys, like you mentioned, I mean, Bryce Petty's a legitimate Heisman candidate. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think he is. And maybe Seastrunk is as well.
Yeah. Well, he talked about it in the offseason. That was his goal, and he was not shy about telling anyone and everyone that would listen, I want to win the Heisman Trophy. And at Big 12 Media Days in Dallas, that was a popular topic back in July, and he had to answer that question a ton of times. Art Briles, Baylor's coach, had to answer that. He was asked, do you like that? Do you mind that? Your running back's so outspoken about it. He said, I love it. Players absolutely love it.
Playing for Art Briles, and he just does seem like a genuinely good guy and an offensive genius.
Yeah. That's not too strong of a word. I agree with you completely. They were talking in Dallas, and it's, you know, long way to go, but they were talking in Dallas, asked about their goals for this season, that kind of thing. Big 12 championship, national championship, Heisman Trophy. That's what all of them said. It didn't matter if it was Lake Seastrunk. It didn't matter if it was Briles. It didn't matter if it was defensive back, Ahmad Dixon. Every one of them said that. And reporters kind of came at them in waves, you know, and it seemed like each time reporters would go, huh? Really? Baylor? And their whole mantra was, why not? You know, why not?
Yeah, and when you go into a season thinking that, and you've said it so many times, it becomes second nature. Maybe if you compete for it and it gets down to nitty-gritty, you're not freaked out by it.
Right. That's a great point.
It's almost like what you expected.
Yeah, well, they're definitely getting into the teeth of where they have to put up or shut up. I mean, we mentioned their schedule thus far, and now they come to Kansas. After that, though, the following weeks, they've got Oklahoma at home, Texas Tech at home, at Oklahoma State. That's a pretty serious three-game stretch. I'm sure they'll be able to show what they're made of. If they make it through that, you could be talking about a legitimate national title contender here. If they don't, then we'll see. Any chance, though, that with those being their next three games, and then this one being in Lawrence, away from home, hard to get up. You know, we've seen Baylor struggle to get up for the game here before.
2 years ago.
Right.
31-30 in overtime,
yeah,
something like that.
I mean, Robert Griffin was not even awake or alive for three quarters.
Until the fourth quarter,
and
right.
Someone either tapped him on the shoulder or handed him his cape and said,
maybe,
hey,
maybe it
time
was Shane Zenger.
Yeah, might have been. That made it a little bit easier, didn't it? But anyway, is there any chance that this Kansas game being sort of just stuck right before such an important three-game stretch could be something where KU gets a little bit of that, you know, Baylor looking past them vibe going?
I doubt it, just because Baylor is kind of a loose bunch that enjoys playing so much. So
right.
They look forward to just playing a game.
Right.
So they're not looking ahead for that reason. They like womping up on people.
Yeah. I mean, especially at this point.
Is that the right way to say it? Womping
up? Whoop, womp. Womp's fine. Even if it's not a word, it's you trademark it and use it.
And I can maybe see it in a crossword puzzle.
There you go.
Like adit, A-D-I-T. You know what that word means?
No.
That's the opening to a mine, which I always thought was called a shaft. But for crossword puzzle purposes, every other day it's in a crossword puzzle. So there's your crossword puzzle tip of the day.
Oh, no. Yoko Ono is always in a
very much so, yeah.
Puzzle too.
Those ones with high percentage of vowels.
Yep, and you know they just piece those letters and blocks together. But anyway, I think sort of like what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs, 7-0, off to a fantastic start. I think for 2-3 weeks, you know, a lot of you guys listening might know and hate that I'm a Broncos fan, so I have no problem talking about the Chiefs. I'll give them their due. For 2-3 weeks, though, 2-0, 3-0, it was kind of like, yeah, well, we'll see, you know. But once you get to 7-0, it doesn't matter who you've played, who you've beaten, what the breaks you've gotten are, you're legit, and you deserve credit. And I think Baylor's to that point now, they're 6-7 games into the season, 6-0, I should say, 7 weeks. They're averaging 65 points a game. I'm sure that's driving them. Like you just said, they want to keep that average up there. They don't want to come
right
here and score 30.
Yeah, exactly.
They want to score 80 so that they can have a little bit of margin for keeping that number high. So I do think it's kind of that mentality of just get out there, throw the ball out, have some fun, laugh it up, and see what happens.
Well, the thing that helps Baylor this weekend is, in scoring, is that the Baylor offense against the Kansas defense is only the second biggest mismatch we'll see on the field, because the Kansas offense against the Baylor defense is a bigger mismatch than the other one.
Easy to overlook. Believe that. Yeah, it's easy to overlook that because of Baylor's offense, but you're right.
Right, because, you know, I mean, Kansas's offense is as bad as Baylor's is good, and Baylor's defense is darn good.
Yeah, well, they lead the conference in scoring defense. They lead the conference in red zone defense. They lead the conference in yards per play allowed, interception returns for touchdowns, sacks per game. You know, the numbers are crazy. These weekly notes that they do, the packet, page 3, is dedicated entirely to things that Baylor leads the country or the conference in. And some of it's individual stuff, some of it's team stuff, but it's an entire page. I mean,
yeah. That
tells you how good they are right there. And it also tells you what the challenge ahead is for Kansas. What's the recipe? I mean, you mentioned a little bit about what K-State did to kind of slow these guys down. Again, that was a 35-25 game. K-State was in it in the fourth quarter, I think even leading in the fourth quarter.
Yes, early.
I don't know. We haven't seen a ton of K-State. We certainly haven't seen these two match up yet. I don't know that K-State's that much better than KU at this point. They haven't had their typical year over there in Manhattan. They probably are better, but that much better, I don't know if they are. So what's the recipe that KU has to use? I mean, all sides, offense, defense, special teams, start, finish. I mean, what would you do if you were trying to coach this team to some sort of hang-in-there effort against Baylor?
I would try to get a running game going, whether that means hit a couple of passes early so they've got to respect the pass, or just use Cozart in the running game as well as passing, and see if that doesn't, you know, allow you to keep the ball for a while.
Right.
I mean, we just haven't seen Kansas do that very often.
No.
At the start of games, yes, against Texas Tech and against Oklahoma, two real good Big 12 teams, and then it just vanishes. And Charlie explains that as they just load the box then and dare you to throw it, and we can't throw it.
Right, yeah. One of the things about this matchup that's I don't know, kind of fun to watch is you've got a true freshman quarterback in Montel Cozart going against this tough, fast defense. He played 9 snaps last week. He handed it off 6 times. He ran 3 times. Didn't do anything to speak of. We haven't had a chance to interview him yet during the season. They're keeping him away from us for now. But you went back to an interview you did this summer with him.
That I didn't use. I saved just in case.
Yeah. What jumped out? You wrote a column. I'm sure if you guys didn't read it, it's still on KUSports.com. You can find it. It was earlier this week, Tuesday or Wednesday.
I think it was today it went up, I think.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. So the thing is, what jumped out? What I want to know is what jumped out while you're writing.
Well, one thing, he seems very young. You know, that youthful innocence,
mm-hmm.
that he really, everything is great.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing. Another thing, he's very confident in a good way. And he prefers passing to running, and he's got 4 or 5 speed.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's close to being as good a passer as he is a runner, because that would make him one of these modern day dual threat wonders.
Sure.
And there's a lot to learn. And he hasn't had much time to do it. Todd Reising had the extra semester. He graduated a semester early.
Yep.
He was here for spring football. That helps. Cozart hasn't had that benefit, but he does have some enthusiasm. And if you see him break a long run, that's not going to be the only thing broken. There's going to be tension on that offense broken. If he starts doing things like that and making the defense respect big plays, you're going to see everyone just kind of put a little, that'll put a bounce in everybody's step. It'll put a little charge in everybody. It'll make the blockers hold their blocks just a little bit longer. The receivers run their routes to completion. It'll make the running backs run a little harder, knowing that they're not the only one getting ganged up on.
It'll make the crowd louder.
It'll make the crowd louder. So I think if he busts a big long run or throws a long bomb that's completed, that could really, really break a lot of tension on this football team that has so much of it built up with 24 consecutive Big 12 losses.
Unbelievable. I think one of the things about Montel that jumps out at me, and also I think we'll see a lot of, is especially early, whenever he gets in the game, I think early we'll see him sort of doing that moving pocket thing, sprinting out, making throws on the run. I know he said he can do that, and yeah, he likes doing that. And I think that's one way to kind of slow down a pass rush is get those guys out on the edge and let them throw on the run. And we haven't seen that with Jake at all.
He doesn't get really out to the edge as quickly as
Kozar. And I think part of that is he's not nearly as fast, obviously. But right, I think the other part is he wants to believe that hanging in there in the pocket and letting plays develop is the right move. And he has faith that it's going to happen, but so far this season it hasn't. And I think you have to give Coach Weiss credit for Montel Cozart being even remotely ready to go in right now. They came into this season with all these incredible expectations and hopes for Jake Heaps, and I think everyone from Coach Weiss to Jake and the offense itself believed he was going to live up to all that and be a great quarterback here. He hasn't been. But even with that belief in mind, Charlie didn't send Montel to the scout team. He didn't send him away from the offense. He's been working up and mostly getting mental reps, but he's been in there and he's been part of the game plan and he's experienced how that is to go through a week like that, preparing as if he's going to play. That's got to be a lot easier than if you're pulling him off the scout team and just saying, hey, we need you.
It is, but I think it would be easier yet if he had just determined in the summer, look, this is the second best quarterback we have right now, even as raw as he is.
That's a good point.
I'm going to give him the reps and practice that Cummings is getting. I think he'd be a little bit ahead, a little more ready for this if that's how things had gone down.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think part of that was Michael Cummings worked hard. He improved himself. He's probably just not the caliber of player they need at this level and at this school
right
to get the chance. So I think it was a little loyalty thing to keep him there at that second spot. Maybe that doesn't win you games, but at least that's probably the reason. So anyway, that pretty much tells you inside and out what's going on. Is there any other Baylor notes you want to throw at these guys that are listening before we get out of here?
Well, one of the receivers had a huge game as a sophomore and as a junior, and now here he is a senior.
Against KU?
Yeah.
Tevin Reese, probably, right? Yeah.
Exactly right. And here he is again. I mean, you talk about Seastrunk and Petty and the defense. Well, here's a guy who's just already shredded KU. This is an exciting offense coming to town here. And if they can slow him down, that's significant.
Yeah, very good point. And I think it's almost a win-win for Kansas fans. They go up, if their team plays hard and puts together a good effort and hangs in there, they can walk away, like you just said, feeling good about that. If they don't, then the fans that were there got to watch a team that could win the national title and have an offense that's rare. So,
yeah.
I mean, you know, I know you don't like to see that beat up on your own team, but it's still something that's kind of special to watch. And you know, I think this conference has shown a lot of teams like that, but Clint Bowen said this is as good a Big 12 offense as he's ever seen. So, you know.
It's fast tempo.
There you go. Yeah. Take that as a sort of historical note and see what happens. Speaking of what happens, real quick, what's your prediction?
55-17 Baylor, which sounds bad, but it's not really that bad when you're playing against Baylor.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're holding them under their average and you're scoring right around your average.
It's not good, but it's not horrendous.
No, I'm in the same neighborhood. I've got 49-14 Baylor. That 49, that's 7 touchdowns. Something moral victory about holding them under 50, right? 49 sounds way better than 50. So we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see if Ben Heaney, Tony Pearson, if those guys can play. If they do, obviously gives KU a better chance to not only hang in there, but to compete. If they don't, you know, the other guys have to continue to try to step up. My guess is that we'll see at Tony, least one of them. Yeah,
I think we'll see Tony Pearson, I guess. Heaney, 40-60, I'll say. 40% he plays, 60 he doesn't. Terzilli, 10-90. 10% he plays, 90 he doesn't. And he's probably their most talented receiver.
Yeah.
Other than Tony.
They could use him. I mean, the passing game has struggled, and it's no coincidence because those two have been gone the last couple weeks. So, I agree with all those, and I think it'd be great for KU if all three of them played, but wouldn't surprise me if they don't. So anyway, we'll have all the coverage. It's a 6 p.m. kickoff. We'll have all the coverage on KUSports.com throughout the night, and of course all the post game and all that stuff too. So thanks for checking out this podcast, and we'll see you guys next week.